With COVID-19 last year, it meant that we weren't able to travel overseas the way I have done in the past. I'd ministered in some 16 different countries, and the last two countries that I ministered overseas in last year was Cambodia and then on to Myanmar. And for those that have been watching the news, you would have noticed that there's some severe things happening in Myanmar. Myanmar used to be called Burma, a place that is very, very close to my heart. In fact, I don't always wear a tie, but this tie was given to me by some Burmese students there in Myanmar from the Bible College that I often teach in. A Bible College with 150 students, and from that Bible College there has been at least 100 missionaries that have gone right across that country, starting churches, seeing people saved. So there's been a great work of God. Myanmar was closed to the outside world somewhat until recent times. The first time I went there was about 7 years ago, and I've gone back regularly most years ever since then, probably 7-8 trips maybe. And the first time I went there, it was still quite closed. I had to stay in a government recognized hotel. I wasn't able to stay with any of the family members. There was a lot of restrictions. I was only able to teach in the Bible College. And as time went on, I was able to go to many parts of the country and minister elsewhere. And just to see God working was wonderful to behold. And so my heart has been somewhat saddened by what has happened in the last month in Myanmar. Many of us would have heard on the news over the years, Aung San Suu Kyi was a lady that was imprisoned. She was elected as their leader. The military, before she was elected, was controlling the government. Often harsh situations occurred. The Bible College that I often ministered at, there was a time where some of the soldiers came into the Bible College and they grabbed hold of some of the leading students and they interrogated them. And they were literally in fear of their life because those sorts of things had happened in the past. And so it saddens me to realize that the military government has taken over again. My dear friend, Pastor Timothy Mang, is the leader of the Bible College, responsible for many churches. And just yesterday, he wrote a letter to me, and there was some other information that came out this morning. And it is written in somewhat broken English, and it doesn't mean that this man is not intelligent. He speaks many languages. I only speak one. And so I want to read this to you. It's not a long letter, but it gives you an idea of what is happening. And so knowing that you are a church that loves missions, I would ask that you could pray. I hope to send this letter out with just some explanation tonight, and maybe even some of the information that has just come out this morning. I mean, the pictures that you might have seen on TV is large crowds just marching in the streets. It's the only way that they can oppose the military government. And they are in fear because they know what they experienced just recently. The latest news that came out this morning is that they've released thousands of criminals out of the prisons. It may come on the news that that prisoners have been released, but they won't emphasize that it's thousands of criminals that have been released, so that they will be a part of inciting the crowd and give the military government excuse for killing and shooting the people as they have already done. And so, as I say, this is close to my heart because I am regularly in contact with pastors and students from Myanmar. So Pastor Timothy Mang entitles this letter, he says, "A Heart Cry from Myanmar." He says, "Dear friends, I believe that you have known what is happening in Myanmar. The military invaded the newly elected government leaders and took power from them on February the 1st, 2021. The military put all the elected country leaders into jail." Imagine that. It's like your whole of your government is suddenly put into jail. "And since that day, the mob started protesting the military dictatorship. Every day, in every city and every town of the country, the protesters are larger and larger. The police have shot some people and some have been killed. Every night, about midnight, soldiers and police arrested protesting leaders and put them to jail or unknown places. Now every office is closed, including banks. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic," and this has already been increasing in Myanmar, is my preface, "we, the people, have been suffering very badly. Now no more the COVID-19 law, no more quarantine. The crowd are walking together for protesting. No doctors and nurses at the hospital anymore. No school, no more teachers, no more government employees." You can see how it's literally imploding. "We the people are in the darkness. The people are protesting with a loud voice without having a clear hope. Oh, what will happen to us tomorrow? The army and the police are taking people and putting them in unknown places. How many people will be killed by the COVID-19 pandemic? Moreover, how many people will lose their lives during this turmoil period? No one can predict how long the trouble will last. It is just the beginning. Because of the COVID-19, many poor people have suffered famine. My heart is waving for our frontline missionaries and believers who are poor. Our frontline missionaries are depending on the basic support that we send monthly. Now no more way of sending monthly support. For the time being, no more way of receiving support funds from outside. All the banks are closed. Very thick darkness is standing in front of us. From a human perspective, no hope at all, only a disappointing situation. When I look at the crowd who are shouting for freedom and justice, I am crying. My heart is broken. We, the Myanmar Partnership of Biblical Churches, organised 48 hours chain prayer for the turmoil since this morning at 6 a.m. Not before long, our people, our missionaries, we'll have no food. What shall we do? I throw myself in the arms of Jehovah, just looking unto him for deliverance from the evil circumstances. I'm asking you, friends, to continue to pray fervently for us who live in Myanmar. God can change the dark circumstances into a shining situation. Yours in his vineyard, Timothy Mang. The Lord has done a great work right across that country. Thousands have been saved. In fact, two of the states are known as Christian states because of missionaries that have gone there in the past. But all of a sudden, they're faced with this severe persecution again. And the other thing that Timothy Mang had written this morning, he said that they're even putting poison into the water system. So, you know, what are you going to do when everything breaks down around you that you have trusted in? All you can do, as he has said, is to trust in the Lord. If you wouldn't mind, if I can just pray, knowing that you care for missions. As you can see, we can't give to this situation. It's not possible, but we can pray. Let's pray. Lord, we turn on our televisions and we see news of political unrest, and we don't realize the stories behind that. Christians losing everything that they have trusted in. And Lord, we see this in Myanmar. And yet, Lord, they have knowledge, they are aware, because not so long in the past they were going through the same thing. Lord, there was a small window that people like myself and others from the West were able to go in and encourage and support, but Lord, that window seems to be closing at this time. Your people close to the outside world, but Lord, all they can do now is to trust in you. And Lord, I pray that you'll meet their need, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll comfort them. And Lord, I pray that you give them the courage and the strength to continue to do the work of the ministry. I think of the young missionaries right across the country, many of them already experiencing persecution, some of them jailed. And Lord, I pray that you'll give them boldness and wisdom to be faithful. And Lord, I pray that you, being the almighty, powerful God, that you would intercede in this situation to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't apologize for being emotional this morning, because when you come to know these people and they represent faces, you can sort of see and understand what they would be going through. In your Bibles, if you can turn to John and chapter 21, it's going to be very easy for me this morning, in that I only have just the one screen before you, so I don't have to try and find my clicker, and I just want this to be a focus. We have an image before us of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Sea of Galilee, depicting the Lord Jesus Christ in his risen body after he has died on the cross. By the Sea of Galilee, and he's meeting there with his disciples. And I just want to give you the background to John in chapter 21, and later on we will come back to the latter part of this chapter. Probably a story that we would know somewhat well, and in this we're going to be focusing particularly on Peter. We'll be looking at how that Peter experienced failure. And we'll see how that he experienced the Lord's forgiveness, and we'll see how the Lord then brings Peter unto himself and encourages him to follow the Lord Jesus. The background to John chapter 21, the Lord had told the disciples, Matthew 28 verse 10, after that he had resurrected, he said, "Go up to the Sea of Galilee and wait there for me." And so here are the disciples in obedience to that. They are waiting by the Sea of Galilee. They know and expect that somewhere along the line the Lord should come to them. But just like most of us, I guess they get a bit impatient. They wonder when the Lord is going to come. And particularly if you're a man, I guess you can relate to this. You just don't like the idea of doing nothing. And so it is natural for them. They decide to go out fishing. At least they can do something with their hands. At least they can occupy themselves. And so they go out fishing. And it tells us there at the end of verse 3 that they caught nothing. The application there, I believe, is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do nothing. We need him so much. We need our Savior. We need our Lord. And it's interesting, the Bible says that when the morning had come, verse 4, that the Lord Jesus Christ stood on the shore, but they didn't recognize him. He wasn't revealed openly to them so that they couldn't see him as their Savior and their friend. Remember, they had caught nothing, and then the Lord tells them to put their nets over the other side. And all of a sudden there becomes recognition. Because it reminds me of another situation where Peter was there with the Lord. The Lord, because of the crowd, had to preach in the boat. The disciples in the similar situation had caught nothing, and so the Lord told them to put the net over the other side, and they had caught much, just as they did in this situation. And I think it was then that they began to recognize this was the Savior, because they remembered back to a time when they had caught nothing and the Lord had been there to give them abundance. Oh, through Christ there is abundance. And when Peter recognizes that it is the Lord, notice verse 7, he puts on his outer garment and he puts it on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunges into the sea. In his eagerness, he rushes to the Lord. He couldn't wait for the boat to land. And yet I wonder, as he came to the Lord, what he was feeling. Perhaps it was a bit like maybe I experienced as a child. When you did something, Mum would say, "You just wait until Dad comes home." And so you had mixed feelings. You knew that you were going to be in trouble when Dad came home, but at the same time, you loved your father. And so there were these mixtures of feelings that you would feel. And I'm sure that this is the way that Peter was. He was delighting to see the Lord. But I think in the back of his mind, he would have been thinking, "Lord, I failed you. What are you going to say to me? Will you forgive me?" And in many respects, the Lord shows his forgiveness in verse 12, where he says, "Come and eat breakfast. Come and dine." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was Jesus the Lord. I think they were still in awe, in fear, because it wasn't only Peter that had failed. They'd all failed. And yet by this simple act, you cannot fellowship with somebody, you cannot have a meal with somebody unless you are close. And this is the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ showing his complete and utter forgiveness of Peter's failure. But what was Peter's failure? Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but we will turn to another passage in a moment. Matthew 26 and verse 33. Peter says these words, "Even if all deny you, I will never deny you." And so I say to you, Peter's failure was really his focus on himself, his lifting up in pride so that he couldn't see and care for others. Yes, it's important to see the truth that we are accepted in Christ unconditionally, but at the same time, we need to be careful that we are not so full of ourselves that we don't see Christ and that we can't care for others. And so the Lord has to do a work in Peter's life so that he can truly minister to other people, so that he can truly care for other people. And it's the same work that the Lord does in our life. Because Peter is saying, "Lord, though all of these," in other words, "though all of these disciples may deny you, Lord, I will never deny you." He sees himself as above them and greater than them. How can he minister to his other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, if he sees himself above them. And I wanted to get you to turn, if you can, to Luke 22, because as we consider his failure in Luke in chapter 22, we already get an idea of the love and the concern that the Lord Jesus Christ had for Peter. And I want you to see these words. Luke 22 and verse 31, it says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, which remember was Peter's original name, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But notice this, and I think sometimes we miss the words here, verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. Even when we are failing, even when we stumble, let's remember that the Lord loves us and he is praying for us. And the Bible says even now for us that he ever lives to intercede on our behalf. He is doing that. He cares for us. He loves us. I prayed for your faith that it should not fail. And then notice it continues on to say there, and when you have returned, when you have changed, when you have changed towards me, strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ is literally what that means. Can you see what it is saying there? That I believe the Lord allows us to fail. But while we are failing, he is praying for us. And he allows us to fail so that it brings about a change in our life, so that it becomes the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it becomes also others-centered rather than self-centered. And then and only then are we able to truly strengthen others. While we are only thinking of ourselves, we cannot strengthen others. We cannot encourage others. We cannot build up others. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 tells us the same truth, that the Lord allows trials in our life so that we can be comforted by the Lord, so that we in turn then can be a comfort to each other. And I don't know what the failure is that perhaps you feel like you're living with this morning. I could mention just one or two details in my own life, and I have to be careful often about personal illustrations, particularly when it involves others, because you don't want it to have an impact in a wrong way in their life. But for Susan and I, you know, we were married, my wife Susan, just in case you thought it was another Susan I was talking about. Susan and I, we were married for many years, 17 years. Wonderful marriage, but there was a sense of failure, I believe, because we weren't able to have our own children. And so to meet that need, we adopted our son from Romania as a six-year-old. He is now 27. From an orphanage, all of his first 6 years of life was spent in an orphanage there in Romania. 4 years later, we adopted our daughter from the Philippines, similar situation. She was about 5.5 years in an orphanage. You know, and you come to this and you ask the Lord and you plead to the Lord and you say, Lord, you've given us these children. We want to make a difference to their life. And I think all of us know it may be a sense of failure in our marriages, or a sense of failure in our relationships with our children, or a sense of failure with our siblings or our parents. We feel a sense of failure often because there are these broken relationships, and we just are so down and discouraged at times, and we think, Lord, where are you in this? Our son, he couldn't speak any English. And as the years went by, he increasingly became more violent. I was worried about the life of my wife and daughter, literally. We would lock the doors at night. And I can say this because he is a changed man now. There was a time in his early teenage years, 14 years old or so, that he came at my dear wife with a knife. You live in these places and it seems to be darkness at the time. And you feel a sense of failure and you say, Lord, where are you in this? But we need to remember that the Lord is praying for us. And we need to remember that the Lord allows these deep times of trial and even seeming failure so that we turn to Him and trust in Him. And so that in the midst of that trusting in Him, then we have our eyes moved off ourselves and we're able to minister and to care for each other. Because we know what it is like to be broken and we know what it is like to hurt and to go through pain. And so the hurt and pain that you may be going through in relationships or may have done in the past, God is able to use that. Praise the Lord, our son just a few years ago, the Lord did a wonderful work in his life. And it's a miracle to us. And he's following the Lord now. You know, and our hearts are encouraged by that, but it's all the more sweeter because we know the sense of failure that we felt. We are going through the opposite with our daughter. She was easy bringing up in many respects, but now there are some things happening in her life and we feel a sense of failure even with that. So it's bringing us to the Lord again. And the Lord is faithful. He's doing it work in her life as well. Let's come back to what it says here in the Word of God. So we can see that Peter's problem was not necessarily denial. That was the end result. But the problem was his own pride. He could only see himself and not others, not the needs of others. And so that's his failure. It's pride. And you come back to chapter 21 of John. And in some ways, we've already seen the process of forgiveness that he experiences because the Lord is open to fellowship, having a meal with them. And then now comes the time in verse 15 of John chapter 21. Now comes the time that the Lord begins to deal with Peter personally, as he does with all of us. It may be through a message. It may be through a friend that speaks something to us. It may be through our own personal Bible reading or devotion that the Lord ministers to us in a special way. And sometimes we can be distant from the Lord without even realizing it. I just shared briefly with what's happening with our daughter. I felt that within my heart that I was getting farther and further away from the Lord. I had to come back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And then the love returns. John 21 verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Let's stop there for a moment. You can imagine the scene. We have it somewhat depicted before us. The Lord Jesus with the disciples. Here he is speaking personally to Peter, and he's saying to Peter, do you love me? Do you truly love me, Peter, more than all the other disciples? Because that was the issue. And we can see that there is a different Peter now. He doesn't respond and say, well, Lord, although all these are going to fail you in the future, Lord, I will never fail you. He doesn't say this now because he has learnt about failure and that he needs to trust in the Lord, not in himself. Do you love me more than these? he said to him. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Now, most of us, or many of us, would probably maybe know this, that there are two different words in the Greek that are used throughout this passage. When the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Peter, he says, do you love me? Do you love me with the agape love? Now, that's an easy love to remember. It's God's love. But the word agape in the Greek relates to our English word agape. You know, if I'm lying in bed at night, if I'm snoring, my mouth might be agape. It's open. It's open. So we have an idea here that this love speaks of an open love, nothing holding back, nothing hindering, not self-hindering, not circumstances hindering, not unforgiveness hindering, but an open love. And so the Lord is presenting to Peter and saying, "Peter, do you love me more than these with an open love? This is what I want from you. Not so self-centered that you can't see the needs of others that they need to be cared for." And I see the humility of Peter, because when he responds and he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," he responds with the Greek word phileo, which means a friendship love. You see his humility now. He can't even say to the Lord, I can love you with an open love, your agape love. Lord, I can only love you with a friendship love. And it's interesting, isn't it? It seems out of context almost, the response that the Lord gives to Peter, yet this is the secret of going from the failure to the forgiveness to the following. Notice the response that the Lord gives at the end of verse 15. He says, "Feed my lambs." In other words, Peter, for you to get beyond this failure, you need to learn to love with an open, unconditional love. But Peter, where you need to start is by feeding my lambs. Feed those who are young in the faith, immature in the faith. And you might say, "I don't have abilities, I can't care for others." Well, just start off with somebody that maybe others haven't noticed. Care for them, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And it's almost like there's a progression here. Three times the Lord says this. It's interesting that he denied the Lord three times. He said to him, verse 16, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And still the Lord is using the word agape. "Do you love me with that open love?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And still Peter can only answer, "Lord, I can only love you with a friendship love. I can't trust myself now to love you with this open, unconditional love. I can't trust myself to love others with this open, unconditional love." And it's interesting then the response that the Lord gives to him. He says there, "Tend my sheep. Take care of my sheep." Those who are more mature, yes, as you grow in Christ and as you look to Christ and as you follow him, then you are able to take care of those and minister to those who may be more mature and older in the faith. This is what I believe the Lord wants from us. In verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And here the Lord uses the word phileo. No longer the agape love. And you know what this shows me? Peter responds once again with, "Lord, I can only love you with a friendship love." But for the Lord to say to him, "Do you love me with a friendship love?" What it shows to me is the Lord comes down to meet him where he's at. Sometimes we don't come to the Lord because we're afraid that he won't forgive us again. Sometimes we don't come to the Lord because we think if we do, it's almost like we're going over and over the same problems, the same things that we've fallen on. But I want us to know and be encouraged by this, that the Lord is our friend and he's praying for us. And he meets us in the darkest of times, particularly the darkest of times, because we see our need for him. And so then again he says, feed my sheep. Notice the encouragement there again is Peter, look beyond yourself, look to me, but also look to care for others, strengthen others. And then there's something exciting. There's a special message that is given personally to Peter there in verse 18. And notice the words of the Lord here. He says there, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked while where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you or carry you where you do not wish. Now, some people believe, and I think there is good grounds for this, that this was predicting how Peter would die. Stretching out his hands, I think, speaks of crucifixion. History tells us that Peter was going to be crucified at the end of his life, and when he knew that, he didn't want to be crucified like his loving Lord, and so he asked that he would be crucified upside down. And I think there are some grounds for that from this verse, because it says there in verse 19, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Now, this is very personal. Peter knows how he's going to die. He knows that he's going to die when he's old. I wonder when Peter was in prison later on in the book of Acts, and it seemed like it was the end. I wonder whether he remembered that the Lord had said, you're going to die when you are old. And remember how the angel rescued him from prison. And the Lord gives him this. And you see, it is a very personal, special message for him uniquely. Have you had that happen? You've come to the Word and the Lord has just touched your heart with something so much. You've been listening to the Word of God preached and your heart is touched. And all of a sudden you think, well, what about somebody else? Lord, this message is for them. And this is what Peter does. He looks around and he sees John after he's received this special message. It says there in verse 21, Peter, seeing John, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? He's just received this special message from the Lord, and immediately his heart goes from what the Lord has wanted to do with him to looking around in a wrong way. Lord, what about John? Oh, I pray that we would keep our eyes on the Lord. And I simply close with this morning. Notice we go from Peter's failure to Peter's forgiveness. We see how the Lord dealt lovingly and caringly with him. Notice the end of verse 19, the Lord says to him, what? Follow me. In verse 22, Jesus says to him again, and he's saying, if John remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. And so you see that the last message that Peter is being left with is, you follow me. And I say that that is the message that the Lord wants us to take notice of this morning. Our failures will discourage us and defeat us. They're not meant to. They're meant to cause us to come to the Lord and to follow him. Because where else can we go? Who else can help us? Let's not allow our discouragements to cause us to look within, but to look upward and then to look outward to minister to others. We have our greatest friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, within us, alongside of us. Let's pray. Lord God, you are dealing with us all in a very personal way. There's perhaps been times in our life that we've said, Lord, I want to do great things for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. Lord, just like we wanted to do a wonderful thing with our children that we adopted, wanted to give them an opportunity. And Lord, sometimes in this desire to do great things for you and to want to serve you, we leave you out. And so, Lord, you allow failure, you allow weakness, you allow even the death of a dream. And it could have been a good dream to serve you. It could have been a good dream, Lord, to be a blessing to others, but Lord, in the midst of this, all of a sudden, we forget you. And so you allow the failure, Lord, so that we turn to you and cry out to you and follow you only. And Lord, we not only learn of your open, agape, forgiving love, but we learn of your friendship love. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always working in our lives. And no matter how much we feel we have failed, you are there praying for us. But you want us to change. And how does that change occur? By looking to you and trusting in you. And then we're able to strengthen others. And you can use us in a mighty way to your glory. Lord, I pray that today we would lift our hearts up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.